to move us along. There are some seats up here if people would like to come forward.
I'm going to go ahead and start. I know what the first slide says. It's my presentation title. I'm going to talk to you today. Hopefully it will load. But about... okay. That wasn't what to do. Okay, can you hear me better now? Okay, good. All right. I'm going to talk to you today about a conceptual framework that I was part of a team in developing that is a little bit of a diversion from what was just presented as more of an approach rather than an actual program. So this is an approach that we developed around thinking about outcomes for specifically for health improvement programs and wellness programs. And we did that work to get as a collaborative group working with DMAA, the Care Continuum Alliance, and I will tell you my background is I work for Pfizer Health Solutions, and our organization is a member organization for DMAA, the Care Continuum Alliance. It started as the Disease Management Association of America, but as their membership organizations evolved to provide many other kinds of health improvement programs and support, their goals and charge evolved as well. And they actually changed their name to reflect that evolution. And they are now called the DMAA, the Care Continuum Alliance, rather than Disease Management Association. They've been around for going on 10 years and are mostly involved in promoting population health improvement across the care continuum at this point. One of the bigger efforts that I've been involved in with them as a member organization is the Outcome Steering Committee. And that committee is comprised of probably about 70 outcomes researchers from organizations across the United States that are members of DMAA. And we've come together to try to develop some kind of consensus around how to measure outcomes for wellness, disease management, end of life, all kinds of programs across the care continuum. I'm going to reach across you. I'm sorry. The membership of that group contains not only member organizations like ours who provide both wellness and disease management services, but members like URAC and RAND, NCQA, University of Michigan actually has folks sitting on that team. I think Dee Eddington joins us every now and then. And we started in the last year. There's been 3 years of this work group. And in the last year, we actually had a wellness group that got together and did some work, starting with providing a definition of wellness, and not for all the world definition of wellness, but wellness as we mean it when we are outlining our outcomes and guidelines. We listed the types of program components that we consider to be wellness and outlined relevant wellness domains. And then where I was most instrumental is helping them develop a framework around the outcomes that helps explain the evaluation of programs. And not just wellness programs. I think this, what I'll be showing you, can be applied more widely across the board to evaluations of any kind of health improvement program with obviously tweaks. But that the point is really to think in this kind of a way and really develop. This is like a piece of what many of you may know as a program theory. This would fit into an overall program theory as your outcomes expectations for your program. I won't go through the definition. We came up with, as a group, and vetted in the steering committee process, four large domains of outcomes measures, and beginning with process measures. And we don't normally think of process measures as outcome measures per se, but because they are so integrally related, I should drink my water before I try that word. Anyway, they drive our success. So we did consider them in the model. And behavior change and modifiable risk factors, that's a huge group of things. And you'll see how we've organized those in the model. That was the second category. Third, productivity and quality of life. And fourth, utilization and medical costs. So I'll walk you through the actual model. And I hope you'll see how it isn't just relevant for wellness, but it could be relevant for any kind of program where you're trying to provide information to people to prompt them to take health behaviors and improve their health and wellness. So beginning with process measures, I don't know if people can see this in the back, but I hope you can. It's really not a comprehensive list, but just a smattering of the things that you might measure as part of your program, engagement, outreach kind of indicators, participation rates, and et cetera. And those things will drive your behavior change on modifiable risk factors. And in this group of this large domain of outcomes is are three subdomains, beginning with psychosocial drivers. And those are the things that we think about in this arena as often these are constructs that live within our health behavior theories. We didn't list theories here, but more the constructs that are often embedded within our health improvement programs. And this, again, is not a comprehensive, exhaustive list. The second piece is psychosocial drivers are often what we count on to move the needle, as they say, on health behaviors. And we've divided that into two areas, self-management type behaviors. And these are things that you can do for yourself, like dieting, exercising, quitting smoking if you still smoke, et cetera. And then screening and preventive services. And those are things that you generally have to go to your provider for or some kind of another source. Often your local Save-On will give you immunizations and so forth. But the third piece here is health and clinical outcomes. And these are this includes things like health status, labs would be under here, cholesterol, A1Cs for your folks who might have diabetes, body measurements like body mass index and blood pressure would be listed here as well. Oh, and then within this box, I'll back up. Hey, that does work. Within this box, also you see reciprocal relationships. It isn't just unidirectional. We didn't represent every relationship with every box here, but we did try to at least represent that if you see changes in your health status as a result of the behaviors you're undertaking, that's likely to reinforce the health behavior and then have a kind of a cyclic nature to it. So that we wanted to represent that at least at some level. Now the third piece is productivity and quality of life. And these things are grouped together because many of the people that we work with are participating through their employers, but often we have Medicare populations that we work with as well, and so those folks aren't necessarily employed, and there are quality of life impacts of the program that are about kind of the doing stuff of a retired person's life, and so we group those together just the same way that productivity is kind of generally can be construed as the doing stuff of your workplace and showing up at work. The fourth general category is appropriate utilization and medical costs, and we broke this down as well into short, medium, and long-term impacts there. The short, with the acknowledgement that the short-term impacts might actually increase costs if people are more appropriately utilizing their health care preventive services. So with the ultimate goal that longer term you would hope to see a reduction in avoidable hospitalizations and events and so forth. And I think one of the bigger components of the model is sort of this temporal dimension where we often, many at least coming from an environment where I often interact with commercial vendors for services, the answer to the question that many stakeholders want is did we save any money? And I think that what we're trying to show is that there's a lot of stuff that happens in between doing the program and saving you money, and that those things are all very important to consider, and considering how they interact and measuring them is a very important piece of any evaluation. So some of these things obviously would happen earlier than others given the nature that they drive each other, or the hypothesis anyway. So part of what I wanted to say today, too, is that this kind of an outcomes framework should live within a much broader framework of thinking about your program. And one of the ways that I found really helpful of summarizing this thinking is in it's a pause and until you have a book out called Realistic Evaluation. And oftentimes, we, especially coming from my organization is actually sitting within a pharmaceutical industry, and we often aren't comfortable with evidence that doesn't come right out of a randomized trial. And much of the evidence that's out there about whether things work has come through randomized trials, and it isn't always strong evidence. And I would propose that it isn't necessarily because things aren't working, but that isn't necessarily the strongest way to get at whether or not whether your program worked for who and under what circumstances, under what context. There's a lot more to consider. And so this model that they put out in this book, Realistic Evaluation, considers not only the context of the program, but the actual consideration of the mechanism of the program, how it will affect both, what is it about the design of the program that would affect your short-term outcomes? How am I doing for time? 4 more minutes. Okay. Wow, I'm not going to be able to get through this. Okay. In any case, I'm going to move on. So, and I'll move quickly through this. This is just how we've used this kind of a model in considering program theories of our organization, within our organization. There are a number of different kinds of contextual factors that you might want to consider, predisposing factors that might not only shape the design of your program, but whether people are predisposed to participate in it. This is a relatively, I don't know, for the size of the boxes, I guess. This is a randomized trial design of a program, but where we're trying to not only test, this is an actual program that we're doing, but we're trying not only to test things randomly, but to add this other contextual piece and this other level of program theory that really where we dig into figuring out what it is about your program that works for who. What is that?
Three.
Okay. That's a little lines there. I'm sorry. Anyway, and then this is a version, the lower piece here, the conceptual outcomes framework, is another version of the conceptual framework that I showed you earlier. And I'll move through this pretty quickly. Here, evaluating the mechanism, I think a lot of people do this with their programs. They evaluate the processes, you know, the engagement and so forth, but and then did it work the way you expected. But consider those contextual effects and how they might have operated on any surprises you may have seen and so forth. Evaluate the program experience. We often think of the programs in a black box fashion and just, you know, well, they're entered, they got it, they signed up, whatever it is, so they got the program. And really dig in there. Determine what it is that happened with people. You might be able to put some kind of an indicator together for dose effect. Maybe there's a tailoring effect if you get some, you know, your programs are ability to tailor very closely, or if people, you know, flowed through in some really, maybe there's a magic ingredient. I don't know. I haven't found that in any of our programs. But in any case, digging in, I think, is part of the idea. I'm going to go through these really, I'm not going to go through those, because it was just an example of three different people with the same kind of risk profile going through a program, a relatively comprehensive wellness program in three different ways by design, because they're allowed to choose different ways of participating, but also by implementation, because sometimes people just don't come. It's a sunny day and they would rather be outside on a Saturday. So in any case, and I'm not a fan of animation for animation's sake, so I'm hoping that this is just enough animation to give you the sense of how things flow, but some additional ways that you can learn more about the who and why and when and so forth, and also tie some of your outcomes with a little bit more causal inference, and I use that term carefully, but is to not only evaluate whether there are differences between your groups, and in this case we have the randomized groups, but whether there are differences due to program strength, integrity, whatever it is that your program indication, your sort of dose effect might look like, and evaluate the hypothesized relationships among your various domains. Are things really driving one another the way that you've outlined? And patterns of effect overall. I don't know if you can see this, but you've got green effects here on the improving psychosocial outcomes. You've also seen decreased utilization and cost, but you haven't seen changes in the middle. So there may be something else operating that you're not really measuring or not aware of. So keep an eye out for those kinds of things. This is just another pattern. Again, this makes a little bit more sense. You're starting to see green positive changes, yellow where you're seeing changes, and then red you haven't maybe gotten there yet. Also, dig into your program's theoretical grounding. If you're putting in some of these constructs from health behavior theories, measure whether those things are actually operating the way that you expected. And I'll work through this quickly. But in any case, the point of the slide is to sort of measure how those things within domains interact, across domains, how do they interact. And you might be able to use some pathognatic analytic methods or other types of structural equation modeling, et cetera. Hopefully, we'll end up seeing more of that out in the evidence in the future. So basically, the bottom line, okay, is to embrace a wider range of scientific methodology. Systems analysis, really important. How did things work? Did they work the way that you expected? Who did they work for? Move beyond sort of move beyond the, you know, yes or no. Did your groups as randomized differ from one another? But really dig in about, you know, what about your approaches worked? Who did it work for? Under what circumstances? And so forth. And I think this kind of modeling, and especially within a larger program framework that includes context and mechanism, is a really important step. So, that's it. Thank you.